Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's sermon.
When I was a little girl, in the King James Version from the red letter Bible with the gold leaf pages, with the names of the ancestors inside the front cover in my mother's beautiful cursive, was my mom's canon. Daddy had one too, because we all have our canon. The favorite texts we go to, the scriptures we go to, the words we go to that remind us of who we are and whose we are, the things that get us through the night and give us joy in the morning after we've cried our eyes out. My mother's canon was in that Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered everything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. This was before inclusive language. God was always a he, and if it didn't have an F on the end, or it wasn't ye and thou, it wasn't really religious. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A liar will not tarrieth in his sight. What the heck was tarrieth? What? I'm still not sure I know what tarrieth means. But I knew mommy was trying to say lying wasn't good and we best not do it because spare the rod. And spoil that damn child. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate me from my God. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on eagle's wings. They will walk and not get weary. They will run and not faint. I thought it was in the Psalms until I went to seminary. I didn't know it was at the apex of Isaiah's argument, as Isaiah and the people of Isaiah's community were turning the corner from despair to hope, from depression to a vision of a world that they could live in, from feeling like they were cast out and never to be recovered again, to our God is able to love us anyway. That's what this chapter is all about. It's turning Israel's focus, Jacob's focus, from their mess, from their stuff, from their failings, from their shortcomings, from their sin, from their lackluster performance as the people of God, to God. Because in fact, God's godness didn't downshift because the people weren't holy. God's godship, God's godness, God's godliness was there from the beginning of time, which one scholar would call the before, from the beginning of the foundations of the earth, the God that set the stars ablaze in the blanket called the sky, the God that put the firmament between the heavens and the earth, the God that just simply spoke And the creatures came a-creaturing and a-crawling and a-flying and a-slithering. The God that pronounced humankind good even though, very good even though, very good even though God knew they were not perfect. P.S., by the way, my friend John Kinney calls the story of the fall fallen theology. That when God created us good and wonderful and amazing and fabulous, God knew that God had built in some willfulness and that we were in fact going to do the thing we were told not to do. And Kinney says that's just evolution. That's just people becoming people. In other words, that's just doing what we're supposed to do. And so why did we pin all the brokenness on Eve and Adam's just being human? He calls that fallen theology. The God who created us exactly as we are, all of us, exactly as we are, doesn't stop being God because we're human. The God who created all of us exactly as we are expected, anticipated, in fact designed our complicated flawedness because I think God is fascinated by it. Just kind of enjoys. They're so quirky and cute. What they gonna do today? Oh, that's so special. Look at them thinking they're independent from each other. They think they can make it without their community. Look at them, lions and tigers and bears. This text in Isaiah is reminding the community that hears it that their little tantrums and their little foibles and their giant war-causing, horrific, mind-bending ability to wreak havoc on the earth, none of that stops God from loving them. And none of that stops God from being God, which is to say, none of it stops God from taking their mess and sifting through it and helping them to find a way out of no way to cause even the worst things to improve their humanity, to build compassion, to etch on their souls a better way to be because they know this way is not going to work. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth, King James Version, me. I can do all things through the anointing was in my mama's canon, that strengtheneth me. A child of a child of a child of enslaved people. A girl picking cotton when she was 4. A girl walking across the street on the other side from the white folks so as not to meet their eyes and be perceived as sassy. A girl poor, eating corn pone, you know, for dinner, might not get breakfast. Out in the fields, helping her mother maintain their life. A girl whose people's people's people, cramped in ships, came across in the Middle Passage, and not only survived, thrived, and made the world what it is with the greatness of their blackness. In her canon, is the misery and heartache and suffering and outsiderness that only can coexist with the terror that is American life because you know there's a God that loves you anyway. Are you with me? This is what's in the text today. a people who know they can't make it on their own, a people who know they need a love so amazing, so divine, a people who know that there is a God who loves them, who will not forsake them, who will hold them, who will keep them on the path, who will redeem and resuscitate them and make them whole. That's my people's canon. My people are I'm talking about black people now. You're my people too. In this amazingly beautiful book by Marcy Alvis Walker, she has a chapter called The Stuff I'm Made Of. I want to read it one little bit to you, even though we're gonna get long, because her prose is so incredibly crazy. She says, to give you some idea of the kind of stuff I'm made of and the backbone from which I emerged and with which I now stand, let me tell you a story. One day, while going about the business of her life, driving my three sisters and brother in tow, my mother was hit by a moving train. Everyone survived without a single scratch. That was in the 60s, before I was born, and my siblings were born, little tots at the time, and seatbelts and toddler seats were only a suggestion, not even standard in some vehicles. What I'm saying is that on a normal, rudimentary day, my mother and siblings escaped death by way of a miracle. The local newspapers wrote about them. Who can really say how it happened or how on earth they survived? But they did survive, and we are all quite astonished still. This is the stuff my family is made of. We get hit by trains. We get hit by trains, and we get on with our day. Her mother was found smoking two cigarettes beside the totaled car by her husband when the train crash had ended and the children were okay. What I'm trying to tell you is my people get hit by trains and go on about our day. We get hit by the trains of white supremacist ideologies that do not recede no matter how far we've overcome. We get hit by the trains of idolatry that is capitalism. I have on a nice dress, but I'm talking about the kind of capitalism that believes some children should go to school hungry. They get hit by the trains of homophobia. They get hit by the trains of class distinction. They get hit by the trains of bias in healthcare, and they keep on moving. Why? Because they know God is able. Why? Because they know God is able. I'm a progressive theologian. I don't believe in magical God stuff. I don't believe if I put myself in harm's way and stand in front of a train, it necessarily means God is gonna jump down and protect me. God is busy and might not be there. But I was cut. I was raised. I was honed. I was birthed in a people's bosom who are only alive on the planet because there's a God who makes a way out of no way. I'm a witness. I testify to the strength of my parents' ability to flourish in Jim Crow Mississippi in the Depression with single mothers whose fathers went to the North to find a new way and never came home because they knew there was a love that would never let them go. I'm trying to tell you in this Black History Month, what's in my canon is my mama's faith. What's in my canon is my dad's stick-to-itiveness. And what's in my canon is Black folks' religion, which keeps me standing in the midst of the horrific daily onslaught that is racism in America. Do not tell yourself that it isn't. Who's black in the room? I'm just saying, if you might be black and not, I can't tell. Who's black in the room that does not deal with discriminatory practices every damn single day of your life? Raise that hand. We are here. We are black, straight, queer. We are women and men. We are foot soldiers in the movement. Some of us are broke, some of us are not, but we are on the planet because God is God. We are on the planet because God is God. This is the gift blackness can give to this multiracial community in this month, is a peek into the canon that is black spirituality. We don't believe everything in that Bible. Come on. Because some of it is wacko. And some of it is oppressing. Ain't nothing liberating in some of that stuff, including I should be quiet right now with my female identified talking self. Beep, beep, beep. But in our canon is they who wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord. They who expect the Lord to come. They who anticipate the arrival of the holy. They who wait on the Lord. Not twiddling their thumbs. They who wait on the Lord, actively working for a just society. They who wait on the Lord will what? Renew their what? And then what? Mount up like what? On wings of eagles. And then do what? Run and not get weary. And walk and not faint. So it shall be written. So it shall be done. Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.